Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 791, ODST Drama, recorded on July 23rd, 2021. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm, and I am here with a couple of folks from a new community-led audio drama in the Halo Universe. Welcoming on board from the Project Tarkov, we have Luke and Austin. Welcome aboard to the podcast.
Thank you very much for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us, man.
Yeah, thank you for being here. You were referred to us by our friends over at the Coral and Downfall community projects. So we're happy that you made your way over here. Just given the nature of what we do here on Podtacular and the whole podcast audio type thing, we are very much akin to the audio drama. We absolutely loved Hunt the Truth and I Love Bees and all that kind of Halo audio drama. So we are definitely curious to see what your project is all about and what it's going to entail as far as story, characters, development, production, all that good stuff.
Well, and, you know, love for Hunt the Truth was something that's like that. Good they love Hunt the Truth, because that was one of the direct reasons why this project even started in the first place.
Yeah, Hunt the Truth was definitely a very big inspiration for this.
It's such a good thing to have whenever you have like a whole show that's dedicated to telling a story that definitely couldn't be told in most other contexts, in my opinion. And when making our show, that actually was one of our goals, to either meet the same expectations of that show when it comes to quality and such, or surpass it. So,
okay,
we've been working really hard to meet those goals. However, whenever it comes to when this show actually came about, I don't know a lot of the early stuff because I came in a little bit late. So if you want stuff like that, you definitely want to go to Luke for stuff like that. He knows a whole lot more about all that early stuff.
Gotcha. Yeah, so as I understand it, Luke, you're the creator of Tarkov.
Correct.
As far as the whole concept behind everything.
Yep. So I created the original casting call, and you know, Austin here actually auditioned for most of the male main characters here.
That is true. I auditioned for every single one. At the beginning, we had the characters that we had at the very beginning, which was I think 5 years ago now.
Yep.
When we had finally gone and done that. At that time, me being 16, I was trying my very best to get casted for literally anything, anywhere, because I was thinking voice acting is my calling. It's not. But I was very hopeful at those times.
I mean, you're in high school. So, that's one of the things you do.
Exactly. Yeah. It was like, man, I want easy money. And so, so you go in and you find all of the things that you can. And I found this one that's like Tarkov. Okay, that sounds pretty cool. A Halo audio drama. Okay, now I'm on board. So I'm already a huge fan of Halo by that point. I think by that point, my collection of titles was already pretty big. Nothing crazy, because I hadn't started my collection of like rare titles yet. Like I have a buddy in Japan who's sending me games now. But when I saw that audition, there were, what was it, like three or four male characters. I'm pretty sure just three, actually. Yeah, just three, because we had Tarkov, obviously, who I played very differently. I think I had I put on like some sort of accent for him.
Yeah, you sounded very much like Jango Fett when you did that audition, I think.
Not my fault. Then we had Mike. He's one of the secondary characters. So he's just, he was going to be originally a lot different. I remember that much. Originally, he was who I got casted for before I got moved over to the main guy, Tarkov. And then there was Captain Avon, who I think the guy that we have now, I wish that we had him all the way back at the beginning, because that the dude that we have now, his voice, oh, it's like butter. It sounds awesome when you hear it.
It really so is. Nice.
Yeah. So, Austin, what's your role on the project?
So I have a couple. Once I got situated into the whole project, at first I was just the guy that was doing the voice lines, and then every now and then Luke would send over this rough cut of episode, and I would listen. And at some point, I'm not entirely sure how we got to that point, though. I was like, do you want help like writing the story? Do you want help putting this show together? And so when we got to that point, I was able to go into the scripts and stuff, and I was able to mess around with things. We basically scrapped the entire first episode because we wanted to change the way that the story went. Because originally, the way that Tarkov was going to go was that Tarkov was going to be narrating over the entire show. He was going to be basically just this ethereal being that knows everything that's going on, and he is detailing everything that happens in the show and kind of just describes things, which helped a lot for how the show was originally going to be going, seeing as the only times that he doesn't pop up was going to be the Covenant side of things, which there was going to be like a Covenant side plot going on where the kind of like how in a lot of the Halo books, the perspective will change to the Covenant.
Yep.
Yeah. Originally, that was how it was going to be. That idea was eventually put away, but that's where everything was starting out as. So when we scrapped that, that was when my roles kicked in pretty hard. Because then we started up on season one writing, just restarting it from the very beginning. And I remember it was going to be originally me and Luke both writing these episodes in tandem. And I think episode one and two are the only as far as we got before one day I had like a ton of inspiration, I suppose, and I wrote the rest of the series in one day.
Jeez.
Okay. Yeah, this man had a creative streak going on.
No kidding.
And I checked everything with Luke first. I was like, okay, are you actually okay with this story that I just wrote? Because it popped up out of nowhere, and I know that we said we were going to write it together, so let me just at least get your approval for this.
Like, where's the together in this again? I don't remember this happening, but sure, we'll go with it.
Exactly. And so, like, the show, we got the okay together, and the season was looking well put together, and it had a lot of twists and turns. And so then my role had gone from voice actor, because I think at this point I was still kind of playing Mike, but I had kind of gone away from playing anyone. And from then on, I had been going into the writing and into the actual helping with the producing of the show. Because I have a lot of formal training with working on productions and working on stuff like that. So I ended up taking a lot of the brute force of getting a massive sound library and using those to put together episodes. Luke and I would toss files back and forth on what would sound best for the episodes. Being like, look at this. Look at how cool this sounds. And then being like, what's that sound in the background? And I'm like, I forgot that there's something back there.
Oh, God, so many Discord pings.
So many pings. Because some of the voice actors that we got down the line, they would like have sound in the background and they didn't catch it. So we would just be like, hey, it's cool that you're popular. Your phone's blowing up when you're saying this line.
Yeah. Can you turn your phone off while you're doing this, please?
Exactly. Like, it's like, could you just at least, I should do that now. I just kind of thought about that. I should do that right now.
Yeah, I did that before we started.
It's not nearly as important.
But.
And we take it out in post anyways.
Yeah, of course. And then the last thing that changed when it comes to where my position was in Tarkov was eventually, of course, I started voicing Tarkov. Was completely accidental. I wasn't originally aiming for it because we were trying to get people to audition for Tarkov. And while we were in the process of like, all right, so this is what you should sound like. People started looking at me and were like, you know, you're doing this, like, actually, like, you're the best voice for this so far, it seems. why don't you just play him? And okay. So they essentially the role just kind of landed. It wasn't something that I was originally aiming for, but it just sort of happened. So that was also kind of forced because the guy who originally played Tarkov just kind of left. He just kind of up and dipped. So we needed somebody new. So whenever we were trying to find a new guy, I just kind of hopped in as a temp and then eventually just got settled in as a character. So
okay.
Yeah, from there, it was just kind of where we are now. But that was my role in the show, and has been my role to this day.
Very good.
Went from a side character to a main character. Good job.
Yeah.
Ain't it great?
You got promoted before the show even came out. All right. Well, before we get into too much more details on the show, there's two questions I like to ask all of our guests on the podcast. Listeners of the show will know what those questions are, but for you guys, we're going to roll with this. We'll start with Luke for the first question.
Ask away.
How did you get involved with Halo? What was it that kind of tied you into investing time into the Halo universe, and what keeps you coming back?
So the first time I really got exposed to Halo was back in like 2008 or so. I walked into my brother playing Halo 3 with a buddy of his, and, you know, I was like, hey, bro, what's that game you're playing? And he was like, oh, it's Halo 3. And I was like, oh, hey, mind if I play a bit of it? And he was like, sure. Then eventually I went back and played Halo 2, and, you know, we're playing Cairo Station over and over and over again, because young kid me thought, hey, this bit where the Covenant blasts through the door is like A New Hope. I was a big Star Wars guy back then.
I've actually never made that connection before. You're absolutely right, though.
Yeah.
Wow.
Has like them like slowly blasting through, even.
Yeah,
getting all geared up in the back.
I wonder if that is a direct correlation.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I wouldn't be surprised either. But I've never made that connection before. Wow.
I want to find someone who worked on the game and ask them now.
Yeah. Get Marcus Letter, or we've got Joe Staten back at the studio. He might know.
Easy. Yeah.
Right? Wow. I learned something new today. All right.
Yep. There we go. Got you thinking.
Yes. Yes, you did. Austin, what about you?
Well, whenever I started, it was a little bit of a bit more blurry, because if I was going to say officially where I got introduced, it would be where I walked into my... We had like this little office space that also had like a dedicated gaming area. That was definitely not invented by me and my brother. And I walked in one day and I was expecting my brother to be playing COD 4, but he was playing some other game where he was jumping super high and mowing down aliens in some jungle. And I was very confused, but it was kind of funny because back in those times, I wasn't allowed to watch my brother play violent video games. I wasn't even allowed to play them. I wasn't allowed to just so much as watch. So I had to ask if I was okay to watch my brother play this game, because it's different. It's aliens. It's not human beings. Mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot of people
yes.
give those excuses.
Yeah.
And I started watching him, and it was about 3 years later that my dad slipped me a controller without my mother knowing, and I started playing for the first time. That was when we got ODST.
Ooh.
So technically, ODST was one of the first Halos I played. And then if we go into the non-technical area, which is all the way back to when I was around, I would say like 4, my dad used to work in an IT company, and his coworker's son, little tiny guy like me, he had on his dad's computer a strange game with that was like a PC port of a console game. And I have vague memories of him going through Halo, like the mission Halo on Combat Evolved,
mm-hmm.
and not knowing what in the world is going on, not having any clue of what's happening. But I remember being vaguely interested. So it was quite simply, it was foretold, I would say, that I would be into Halo.
Very nice. And he hasn't turned back away since.
No, and it's good that I didn't, because oh my gosh, I have no idea where else I would go.
Yeah. And then the second question is, and we'll say this as an aside to the project that we're going to be talking about here in a minute, What else do you do to kind of stay involved with the Halo community? You play multiplayer, you play campaign, just read books. Is there something else other than the project that you kind of stay involved with the Halo community on?
I normally just play the campaign. I absolutely suck at multiplayer, just being completely honest there.
Not everyone's bread and butter. I will admit to that. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people that just play the campaign pretty much over and over. So totally.
It's a fantastic thing to play.
Oh, it certainly is.
Over and over again. Anyway, there are some of those campaigns that there are some people that have asked, why have you played the campaigns N amount of times? And first of all, I correct them and say, I don't know how many times I've played, so you can't put a number on it.
Right.
And second of all, it's like, if you don't like it, I'm sorry, we can't be friends. But but
you don't like Halo, out the door with you. Get out.
Pretty much.
Get out.
That's essentially how it happened. I'm thinking about it now. I don't think I have any friends that I'm really close with that don't like Halo. And the ones that don't like Halo, we've slowly drifted as friends. That might be true. That might actually be true.
Oh my god.
Me knowing.
Oh no.
You don't like Halo?
Oh, no.
Be gone, heretic.
I'm fairly certain that's what's happening. And it's not even in my control. But
oops.
How do I stay involved? Okay, so first of all, obviously campaign, we already went over that one. Multiplayer as well. Although I'm slowly dropping out on one specific aspect. I was trying to get into tournaments.
Hmm.
And I was actually involved in the tournament that was done, that started a week ago, the FanFest one.
Oh, yeah, the Xbox FanFest, yep.
Yeah, 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 got my ass handed to me.
It happens.
I almost qualified with my teammate, but I couldn't dedicate enough time to practice to it, so we just dropped out of it. I've only played in one other tournament, and that was one of those Halo 5 Microsoft Store ones.
Yep.
I at least won that one, so I have that under my belt. But otherwise, aside from campaign multiplayer, just doing the normal Halo thing, which, like, I would say Forge is more my style. I'm much more of a Forge guy above all else.
Very nice.
It's so much fun. But I think the thing that I go for above all else is straight up community interaction. Since like 2019, actually, I have an Instagram account that I've kept running for a while. It's going to be restarting once Tarkov's up because I'll have time. But it's an Instagram account, and it's just you don't expect to get a lot of community interaction with something like a meme account. But
no, you certainly do. You certainly do.
At least I did it, I suppose. For a full year, I was posting daily content, new video every day. It could be something as simple as just like replacing the audio in a scene of something, or replacing audio in a meme. Or it could be something that's like a full-on production that I do. And that went on for a long time. And through that, I was able to do things like host game nights. I was able to do Q&As. I connected with a lot of different people. One of my new friends, really, really good friend of mine, I met him through one of the game nights because he stayed there after we said we were over. It was just me, my good friends, and him. And he was going on and on about how much he appreciated it because he had never had anyone to play Halo with before, and that this was like a really big deal to him. And
that's great.
I about teared up. I was like, oh gosh, I'm fulfilling the Halo dream.
Yeah.
So it's like that was the majority of my Halo involvement recently, at least up until this point. It's just been Forge, but
okay.
That's how I've been keeping up.
Fair enough. Well, it's nice to have you both on. Let's go ahead and jump on into the Tarkov discussions, and we'll start off with, what is Tarkov? What is this audio drama about? What are we going to hear? What's the story that you guys are going to unfold to our ears?
Do I take this? Do you want to take this one? Do I take this one? Which one of us wants to take this one?
However you guys wanted to answer the question, it's totally up to you.
I'll start it off.
Okay.
All right. So Tarkov, a Halo story. Basically, you remember that VR ODST trailer that promoted Halo 3 ODST from a while back, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, Tarkov is the, you know, trooper that we see who, you know, that trailer revolves around, and, you know, we're basically telling his story in between, you know, him getting that scratch on his face from the brute and him becoming a battle-hardened veteran.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That is very true. And our goal when it came to telling that story, we had noticed that there was, like, first of all, the trailer is time skipping a whole lot, obviously.
Sure.
And if you go to the Halo fandom page or Halopedia, his information is tiny. It's just it's
as
going
it
off
is
of
for trailer
you
stuff.
Can find a trailer. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But they try so hard. They write paragraphs detailing everything that happens, but it's still just saying, like, battling on an unknown planet, that sort of thing.
Yep.
So we wanted to tell the story that happens after he gets hit by the brute and before he becomes a war dog. So that little gap of time, which looks roughly like 15, 20 years, that piece of story we felt needed to be expanded upon. So we started going in on a story in that little time period, and it's been the story itself I did not see coming. We wanted to play around with this idea of making it more than what we would expect to see. Because with a lot of, like, let's say, like, Halo books, you know, you got the ODSTs that are pretty much copy and paste oftentimes. Mm-hmm. I think the only time we got something unique was the Black Daggers. But the ODSTs are usually always, like, the rough and tumble gruff type. They are to themselves and of themselves only. There's only, like, maybe, like, a couple books where they actually show appreciation for John. But we wanted to expand on that and kind of give a story that's very similar to what we saw in The Babysitter in Halo Legends. Mm. When it comes to character expansion and team dynamics, making it so that it's like, oh, wait, these guys actually have a character. They have unique personalities. Let's expand on that. So we put Tarkov in a team, and he's not just on his own throughout the story. Most of the time, he's actually with his team. We've dubbed it Delta 4, it has no meaning at least in my knowledge. It has no meaning. It's just straight up, let's give him like a Kilo 5 Alpha 9.
Yep.
Delta 4.
Yep.
Let's do that.
That's basically what I went with naming it like that.
Yep, that makes sense. Yep.
So where the show starts and where the show ends, they're two completely different locations. And even if we were to spoil the very, very end of the show, it would be more of a matter of how in the hell did you get there? So when you're going from point A to point B, you want to make it so that it's more like parkour and less like free running, which, if you don't know what that difference is, parkour, you're getting from point A to point B in the coolest way possible, and free running, you're getting from point A to point B in the fastest way possible. So, you know, parkour, you're doing flips, you're doing tricks. Yeah, exactly. You're doing flips, you're doing tricks, you're breaking your spine. Free running, you're just doing stuff that's really cool, kind of Assassin's Creed style. And we didn't want it to just go from point A to point B in the fastest way possible. We wanted it to go point A to point B with a little kink in the road, or something has to happen every episode, basically.
Makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, with Hunt the Truth, for example, every episode that you listen to of that, it's usually Benjamin Droh discovers something new and some fantastic new evidence. I think, like, the biggest change is from episode 1 to episode 2. Everything is already on its head. They don't waste any time on Ben being like, oh my gosh, the children. mm-hmm. So with us, we wanted to do that same thing. So episode 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4, etc. Things are tossed around all over the place. And there's not a lot that we can say on who it is that Tarkov is against, who he's fighting, because we have, like, specific enemies that are set. Even, like, in our trailers, we already have, like, Covenant weapons being fired, so that's no surprise that he's fighting Covenant.
Sure.
But even those Covenant enemies, those are specific. So essentially, the enemy is something that we wanted to focus on as well. Like, who it is that he's fighting. You don't expect who he's fighting. You're not going to know what it is that he's going up against truly, because a lot of the times it's quite literally more of a philosophical enemy. So there's challenges that these characters go through. Every single one has to go through and face, which makes the story a little bit more entertaining from time to time. And in every other case, it makes it more believable, realistic, it kind of more relatable, that you can go and find these characters becoming more like people and less like written characters. Which, like, we had to go for, because whenever it comes to Halo, even with, like, the most unrealistic characters, they have such distinct characters that you believe that they're real. And it drives me insane that Johnson doesn't actually exist.
Right?
Because, man, like, when you're thinking about it, unless you go into the books, Johnson has, like, little to no character whatsoever. But because his character is so powerful and distinct, that man is the best character.
Yeah,
I'm calling it now. Anybody can disagree with me on that.
He's a standout character.
Exactly.
For sure.
And it's like, you compare him with characters like, let's say, like, let's go into ODST, since we were all about ODSTs here right now. Let's say, like, Alpha 9. Like, most of those guys were there for that one game. But all of them had likes. They had dislikes. They had preferences, and they disagreed with each other. And there were all sorts of moments that, like, for this tiny little game, which is really, like, I accidentally beat it on Legendary in under 3 hours on stream one time.
Accidentally?
How do you accidentally beat something?
Exactly.
I was just hanging out. I was just playing, and I was talking with the people in the chat, and I looked down after I beat the final mission, and an achievement popped up that said, beat ODST in under 3 hours on Legendary. And I just think it's a testament on how short the game is. Because it is, a tiny game in comparison to the rest of the game.
Sure, yep.
But with the story, we wanted to make sure that principle was represented. We wanted to make sure that these characters were getting expansions, they were getting preferences, likes, and dislikes. And there's a lot of times, a lot of scenes where these characters will kind of bicker back and forth on what it is that they believe, what they don't believe. There is one scene in the first episode where Tarkov and Mike, specifically, they get into an argument over how the Covenant works in general. Like, they're at odds because Tarkov's thinking that the Covenant can slip up, they can make mistakes. Mike is under the belief that there's no way that they ever make mistakes. Every single time that they've shown up, we've basically lost. So there's, like, that back and forth on perspective of opinion, and there's going to be a lot of times that the listener, I feel, should disagree with the main characters.
Okay.
Should be like, what is wrong with you? What are you doing? So there's quite a few of those times. That's my synopsis of the plot so far. But there are a lot of things about it that I'm excited for people to listen to in the future, because there's a lot of moments that I was even showing it to a focus group that we have to make sure that we were doing this show justice. And even our composer, the guy who is writing the all original soundtrack for the show. He kind of messaged me at one point, and he was like, wait, why did you do that? That was sad. and I was like, oh crap, I'm breaking the composer's heart.
Like, maybe that's the point.
Exactly. Maybe we're all supposed to be sad. Anyway. But but yeah, we're aiming for those emotional strikes. We're aiming for making it so that this is a story that's not going to be something that you can just kind of sweep under the rug. The sort of thing that, like, we really, at the end of the day, we're hoping that at some point down the line, 343 will see it, and they'll give a recognition, at the very least. So to make this clear, we're going to be hashtagging Halo Spotlight a lot.
You're going to need to have a lot of hopium for this one.
Exactly. Now, something that I'm personally curious about, Luke, I actually, beyond the first episode, I didn't know what the original plot was going to be like. And since we're talking about, like, how the plot is going to go, me and Luke have listened to the first test episode that we made back in the day a lot. And it's become, like, a little bit of a comedy piece.
Sure.
Because, like, it was so, okay, for what we had at the time, it was actually really good. It was amazing. And I still listen to it every now and then, because I'm like, I use it as, first of all, inspiration, because we were still able to make an episode. Like, that was a big deal. We made an episode, fully voice acted it, and we had everything all laid out. So it was fine. It was great. And I still listen to it every now and then. But I don't know, beyond episode one, what the plot was, if we actually had anything written. I didn't know. So I'm kind of curious.
So believe it or not, when I originally posted the casting call, I had barely gotten the script for episode the test episode barely written at all. And I was like, you know what? To hell with it. I'm going to make a casting call and get all these people to voice it, and I'll just da-da-da-da-da write it as I go.
That's awesome.
Winging it. I like it.
Exactly.
I like it.
You know, casting call, that's actually, we could do something with that, because Tarkov was so big on this website that we used. We use Casting Call Club for all of our voice project, and essentially Casting Call Club, if anyone doesn't know what it is it's essentially just a website that you go to if you're an amateur voice actor looking to get your voice out there, get started at least, because I can't guarantee that you're going to get professional products. Some of these projects do actually pay, but not usually a ton.
Sure.
And Tarkov was advertised on the website as a completely for free project because our budget was already tight and we couldn't afford to pay voice actors. So all of these voice actors are completely volunteer, which is why I'm so shocked at the quality of voice actors we actually got. But when we went in and made that casting call, we had probably 10 to 15 main characters that needed voices. Well, not main character, but like a mix between main and side characters. And then we had extras and background characters. And there was probably in total maybe 30 roles that needed to be filled.
Wow, just for voices?
Just for voices.
Wow.
And what we ended up getting back was roughly close to 200 auditions by the time that we were done.
Whoa.
And
okay. Okay, and, that's impressive.
It was a good time with that one.
Okay.
We got to see so many individual pieces of talent go in and audition for these characters. And what was even better about it was that when we put together the casting call in general, there was, first of all, there was a ton of customization that we did to it because we wanted to make it appealing, because that's one of the most important parts. You don't want a casting call that looks like it was kind of like scrapped together. Because there are some of these that I saw that right. There's like one sentence, what the project is, and then all the characters that they have, which is usually like two or three, no pictures to reference what they look like, so you can't reference the voice at all. Maybe one sentence to summarize them, and then just three lines that you need to read. And like even Luke understood that one. Like, he understood that one as well. Like, because when he did the casting call that I was signed up for, I joined in because he did what we did later on, because we did two different casting calls. All of our original main cast was cast in his casting call, and we kept them the entire time. The only person that had to change was Avon and also Tarkov later on. But all of our main cast stuck through from that very first casting
call. Wow.
So then when we got to the second one, where we wanted to get everybody on, like get all of these voices, which there were a ton.
Yeah, sounds like it.
The biggest deal to us was that after we had gotten all of that set up and we had gotten everything all cleaned up and everything, first of all, the casting call's approval rating, which is a thing on the website to say that the admins went in, looked over it, and determined the percentage of trustworthiness that you'll actually get a product out of it. Ours was up in the 90s.
Wow.
Which was great. I was very happy wow. about that. And then we got an email from the CEO of the website, and he was like, a personal, he's just like, congrats on Tarkov, sends this like massive paragraph appreciation for the series and appreciation for pulling in all these people and pulling off something successful. And from then on, our interest of making the show skyrocketed. And so we went in like a month's time through all of the different auditions, and it took so long to figure out who was best for each character.
I bet with 200 submissions? I mean, that's insane.
Exactly. Like, there were the ones that were kind of easy to root out if they had too much noise in the background that you knew couldn't be removed. There were the ones that were, like, back and forth. Like, they have really good voices, but their microphone couldn't be the best quality, so we could go for them, but we'd have to put them, like, in a helmet to help mask that audio quality. Or they were like top tier, they're working with audio setups that are probably custom and they sound like they're in a professional studio, so now we have to have a contest over which one gets the cast. And I think the characters, if I remember correctly, that had the hardest time getting casted, I actually, the one that was the hardest for a lot of reasons, our original character, Captain Avon, he was one of the two that had to get recasted. And the guy that we had before, he was very much involved in the show at first. And then there was like 8 months of silence, and we only had two more episodes for him to record. And so it was, Luke remembers, it was bothering me quite a bit that we weren't able to get something in 8 month time span. Because we were trying to get the, I was trying at the time to get the episodes lined up, because we were doing this in a format of get all the voices in the episodes, no sounds, and then add the sounds later, and then add the music. And I couldn't do certain episodes because we didn't have his voice. So we went in and recasted him eventually, because he eventually messaged us and said, hey, I'd like to leave the show. I'm sorry. I know it's been a while, but I need to drop out. And we're like, that's fine. Go ahead. We're all good. We're all friends. He's still in our Discord, so we're still good. But he did get recasted, and recasting him was the hardest thing ever. Captain Avon had the most auditions out of everybody. I think it was close to 70 of the 200. And so we had to go in and pick between all of these really auditions. There were not many that sucked.
No.
And the guy that we landed on, oh gosh, he freaked me out because of how effective his voice was. Because it's just, as far as I'm aware, I don't exactly remember where he's from. So I'm not going to even guess it, but he has a European accent. When he plays Avon, he not only has an American accent, it's a deep, gruff accent. Whereas normally he's talking like really like up there in the voice pitch, but he can drop it down to like the lowest gruff voice you've ever heard.
Okay.
Yeah, and he ended up actually playing two characters because of that voice difference. He was able to play another one, which, yeah, we can't talk about the other character, but
spoilers.
He did play Captain Avon though, and he's going to be a prominent character in the show. And gosh, we're lucky for it, because he brought a whole new level of emotional depth to a lot of the scenes that I was not expecting to need emotional depth until I heard him bring it out. But yeah, that was essentially how insane the casting call got real quick, because by that point we had to go in and like we were still editing the episodes at this time. And we were like, okay, we got to get this wrapped up. We have all these characters now. We have all these people that are auditioning. We got to make sure there's something for them to read.
Oh, yeah, let's get the script done. Come on.
Exactly. It was freaking me out.
Oh, God, need to get the script done.
So I was tossing it back between our editors and Luke and myself. And we, oh, gosh, it was, I remember those months being like some of the worst, in my opinion, honestly. Because it's such a grind. Like, once you get to the production of the show, it's not bad.
Yeah.
It's great, honestly. It's a little bit tedious sometimes. Sometimes, you know, your software crashes, which it does often because this show is made in Adobe.
I use Audition all the time. That's why you're recording.
Listen, I'm not saying it can't work. I'm just saying I've had to clear crash messages more than I'd like to.
Oh, jeez. Oh, God.
I usually get those with Premiere, probably, not necessarily Audition.
Yeah. And I suppose it might have something to do with like having 20 tracks with like thousands of sound effects.
That probably has something to do with it.
You know, just a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Getting that many sounds, dude. Oh, man. There was like our sound library. Luke, at one point, our original idea was I was going to have him structure out the voices and then some of the sound effects and then toss them back to me so we could split the work a little bit. We had to cut that idea because the sound library I tried to send him was 30,000 files. And
how many gigs?
Something about that just made sending. I think it's taking up half of my terabyte drive right now, which it was originally not that full. Now whenever this thing is over, I'm getting a specific drive just for Tarkov stuff.
Yep.
Because, dude, it's slowing it down so much. I've actually, and while I was working on the last episode, I was scared because the system kept on disconnecting it from the computer. Oh. And I'm like, oh, no.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, no. So, anyway. 100 backups later, the show is safe. But Yeah, when it came to how many files we had to work with, because our sounds, some of them are home recorded, but we wanted to play around with how much could we get done as a non-in-person, unofficial audio studio using just the internet to support our show. So we were going to websites like Pond5. We actually took some sounds from sources on YouTube. We grabbed sounds from, man, where else did we grab them from? Because I know there were like some sound packs we found as well that are originally used for like films and games, like official stuff, but we decided to use it for this. And it kind of went from there. And also the most important sound effect back, it was that I was able to locate it was like a Steam forum kind of site. Hmm. And there was this random guy that was able to go in and rip all of the audio from all of the Halo games. So we were able to go in and use a lot of the sounds from the games. So there's a lot of moments, I think, somewhere halfway through the season, some listeners might like click all of a sudden because the background sound, like their environment sound, is it's Sandtrap. Mm. But I'm not entirely certain how many people will actually notice it. But if they catch it, it's funny to realize it. But yeah, we've had to go through so many hoops to get all the sounds that we need, especially when it comes to legal stuff, because we don't want to take somebody's sound and then not either A, have a license to it, or B, have permission to use it, because that's how you undermine an entire show. You get hit with legal things, and then you can't post it, and you get sued.
Yeah, that's always a risk. I know it's certainly something to keep mindful of.
Yeah, you've only done, like, what, 790 episodes. you probably know something about, like, the copyright. Just a little audio bit.
I mean, there's the game content usage rules, so that's pretty much the de facto for anything that's Halo.
I've had that tabbed for a year, dude. I've had that tab for so long.
I was telling Luke before you joined that I just recently finished the Machinima project that took 7 years to complete.
How come I haven't heard? Have you posted anything about that? Because I haven't heard about that.
It's the Halo Mole.
Oh, the Mole. Okay. Okay. That was your project. Okay. I was trying to remember if that was yours. I couldn't remember in that moment. Okay. I'm glad. Okay. 7 years.
Yeah. It took 7 years to produce that thing.
Lucky number seven.
So like as soon as MCC released, you were like, let's work on a Machinima.
Well, so we did. So my friend and I did this back when Halo 4 was still the game. So we did the actual like game show or reality show in Halo 4. This was before Halo 5 was out. So this was 2003 at this point. And it was, we did the whole thing of like, we got 343 to post it on Waypoint. We got like 150 applicants. We had 10 contestants, and we had the whole actual reality TV show aspect of it done in the summer of 2013. Little did I know how much I was getting myself into to single-handedly produce this whole thing, because my friend who came up with the idea originally didn't have a computer that could actually run any kind of video editing software. So not only was I in over my head from a video production standpoint, I didn't know anything about doing After Effects. And after two failed attempts of trying to push this, COVID hit and it's like, okay, let's get this done. So it took me 8 months to produce this Machinima.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's
so when you guys say that it took 5 years to bring this whole thing together, I appreciate that. I really do. And you all are just dealing with audio files.
That's still like, that's an incredible feat. Like that's some Rise of the Spartans type beat right there.
A little bit.
If you remember Rise of the Spartans. Yeah. Dear Lord, that's insane. That's the thing that you got to appreciate about a community like this, though. Like you got people that are willing to go and make full on legitimate productions, either out of Halo or related to Halo. And it'll take months. Like I think there was actually a time. No, wait, there was. Yeah, Dawn Under. What was it? Haven? Heaven? I can't remember. It was a ODST short film, but it wasn't even short. It was like a full film. Yeah.
I know of what you're talking about. I think it is Dawn Under Heaven. I think you're right.
That was like insanely well made for a small team just trying to make something fun that's Halo related. And now there's another short film being made. I don't remember who's making it, but it's being it's going to include world's tallest Spartan as Chief.
I have heard something and, about that.
Yeah, it's like it's looking super cool. They actually have a test clip right now where Halsey, they have a lady that's playing Halsey, is kind of talking to Chief on the surface of some planet. World's tallest Spartan walks out into this open field, looks up, and there's just this entire Covenant fleet that's coming out of slit space above him, and it looks amazing.
I've heard about that. I haven't seen it yet, but yeah.
It's so crazy. It's just like, it's insane to me how much the Halo community is able to accomplish, especially with us backing each other up. Because like that's the thing that I think that we don't give enough credit to the community for is just the amount of embracing that happens.
Yep.
Like there's not enough stuff that can be made that isn't being backed up by the community. There's so many things that people will make.
Yeah.
And it's just incredible.
There's a lot of niches out there, and it's not like it was back in the Halo 3 days or the Halo Reach days. Kind of the Halo 2, like between Halo 2 and Halo Reach was kind of that sweet spot of all these community projects, and like the entire Halo community knew of those projects. Mm-hmm. Like everyone knew of Red versus Blue. Everyone knew of Sponsors versus Freeloaders. Everyone knew of the Codex. Everyone knew of all these projects. I'm not sure if there were any audio dramas back then, but then you had all the Halo community was so tight knit back then, and it just kind of splintered into all these different factions as kind of the population just grew, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but
kind of inevitable. Yeah, you know,
like the support that you would see behind Machinima, like that sadly doesn't exist in today's age of video games. Like back then, YouTube, that was it. Like those productions were kind of the thing for YouTube content, but now the YouTube content's all kind of like the news stuff and whatnot. So it's kind of an unfortunate turn, but at the same time, it's those little gems that unless you're in that niche or in that little tight-knit community, you'll completely miss sometimes. So I'm glad you guys are on for this, because there's not many audio dramas that I've heard of. I know I've at least heard of maybe one or two other ones, but that's not really something that I hear of as often in the Halo community.
Yeah, it's not a very common thing. I think the only time that I've ever found a Halo fan audio drama that actually had episodes, there was like it was another ODST one, which was it was pretty funny that it just happened to be an ODST one. But that's where it was. I just found it. It's ODST Helljumper. The episodes are each about maybe like 5 minutes long, and there's actually not many. If I remember, there might be like two or three.
Okay.
The show has definitely gone under, and by gone under, I mean it's been 11 years since they released an episode. But I remember listening to it back like when we were working on the show, because I didn't want to accidentally take somebody's idea. Just even if it was a fan that worked on something 11 years ago, I didn't care. I didn't want to take an idea.
Yep.
Luckily, it was like it's a story unto its own. But the hope that I have with Tarkov when it comes to like fan projects and stuff like that, it's the same thing that happened when I watched something like when I was looking at what was going on with, because remember, we got referenced by Coral and Downfall.
Yep.
When it comes to my role with those guys, currently I'm the lead community manager for both of those projects. And
okay.
They were super supportive of the project from day one. They still are. Every time that I tell them that there's a new trailer, one of them will put something in our Discord's announcements with like 40 exclamation points.
Of course.
And they're super supportive. And what I'm hoping is that the more fan content that we pump out, the more that we can revitalize that what we know, you know, that the Halo community can do, which was make quality content. Even without even trying, because like there is like a gap. There's like this little bar you have to reach these days, which is really annoying to me, because you know we remember the days of like Gears of Halo Theft Auto 5.
Yeah,
and that was like what was it? It was low quality 480p, just somebody zooming in and out with a theater camera, and that was it. That was the whole video. It was awesome, and I still think it's the pinnacle of a lot of Machinima.
In some cases, yeah, it is. Which is sad to say in a way.
But it's so funny. It's because like it focused on what made the Halo community really good, which was we tried things. We went and just did it to see what stuck. And things like a puppy in Halo 3. That one was also amazing. Because like that was what
you're hitting all the sweet spots, man.
That's so
my growing up stories with Halo right there.
It's so good. Like, it's the kind of thing that, like, me personally, I don't know if anybody else knows this show, but they had it on Halo Waypoint. It was supported by Waypoint, at least on YouTube. It has barely any views at all. It's a very short machinima that was called Playtime.
Yes. And we had
okay.
We had Neil on.
You what?
Yeah. we did a whole like when he released the last episode, we had him we premiered I think we premiered the last episode on our channel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I did not have any idea. I didn't start listening to you guys until maybe like about 2 or 3 months ago. So I had no idea about any of that stuff. But I was still Neil excited.
His name's not Neil. What am I? Gosh, Cruel Legacy. What is Cruel Legacy? I forget.
I thought you just happened to know his real name, so I didn't question
I do know his real name. I am completely blanking on it, though.
Can we go with like Daniel's role?
It's Cruel Legacy.
Yeah. I wish that he would get back into it, honestly, because he has a really fun way of making projects and
he hasn't
and writing
been involved
stories.
With the Halo community since then, really.
No, he really hasn't. If you go and find him now, he's I don't even know if I can find it. Oh wait, no, there he is. He's doing I think Destiny these days.
That does surprise me.
Yeah, he's making like every 2 months or so he'll make a video about Destiny. But yeah, I don't know, man. It's just something. I'm not gonna say it's like sad or anything, but it's a different kind of feeling when you see OG creators just kind of drifting away from Halo. It makes you feel a certain way.
It does a little bit, yeah.
But that's what we want. That's one of the reasons why we wanted to do Tarkov, because we want to at least revitalize a little bit of that interest in fan stuff, because we haven't had a fan project in a little while, at least. We had a few spikes because of COVID, because everyone was, you know, at home, and all the imaginative beings wanted to get out of their hidey hole and make something. That's pretty much that's one of the main things that we wanted to go for when it came to this show.
Nevin, that's his name.
That was his name?
Nevin.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, man, that's a blast from the past.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so about Tarkov, so we know where it's kind of leading off of. You're taking this one ODST out of some of the ODST trailers and building a story around it.
Mm-hmm.
And you've talked a little bit about the audio or the voice talent that you've got in there, and you got 30 people in there. What else is going into this production? Like, do you have people that are, I think you mentioned that you have a person that's dedicated to the soundtrack. You talked about making your own sound. So like what else comprises of the team for Tarkov?
Well, we have an artist who's doing like the cover art for each of the episodes, and we even have some.
Ooh.
They even did like a cover for the series in general, and just amazing stuff, man.
Oh yeah, we actually currently you can see the overall season one art right now on the YouTube channel and in our Discord in this special section that we have dedicated to the art of the show. It's an amazing piece of art, and it kind of teases to some of the things you're going to be seeing in the show. So we have the artist who is incredible. He's been one of me personally, he's one of my favorite crew guys. And then we got the composer, a fantastic guy, going by the name of Kev Truitt. That's his little alias name. I don't know if it's Kev short for Kevin, but I'm just going to go for Kev Truitt.
Sure.
He is a Irish producer, still up all the way in Ireland. And originally, he was actually auditioning to make the soundtrack for Coral.
Okay.
And when we had that audition going on, we had like, because I had to help filter through all of that stuff, because we had a lot of people that were trying to become Halo famous through the fan game.
Sure.
Which, it's still in production, everyone. But The soundtrack was being done by some other guy, and he dropped out and he left. And so we had to replace him. And when we did the auditions, we ended up landing on another guy that I can't quite remember the name. I think it started as Kyle. I can't remember his last name, but oh wait, no, Kyle Booth. That was his name. And he's making incredible soundtracks for the game right now. But Kev was the runner-up. And when I listened to his rendition of the Halo theme, because that's what you had to remake in order to get your spot on the team, which I thought was fun. when he went and made his, I liked his rendition a whole lot because it was more dramatic and it was much more, it was pulling a lot more emotional heartstrings. And I'm like, okay, this sounds like something that might be really good for a series that you can't see anything in. So I emailed him and I'm like, hey, you want to do like something else entirely? And and he eventually said yes. He asked a couple questions, but he said yes. And now he's right now finalizing, I believe he's wrapping up episode 8, because there's 10 episodes in this season. Episode 9 he's working on, and then episode 10 is up next. And as of right now, without those episodes being done, we have 14 unique soundtracks done. And that's not counting two different renditions of the main theme that get mixed in later on.
Sure.
So these are all like unique soundtracks. Originally, we had them in the Discord that you could listen to. We had to take those out because Kev wants to wait until after the series is released to post it onto Spotify and actually like show it to the public. So mm-hmm. We removed those, but eventually they'll be there. I listen to them recreationally. I think they're great. and aside from him, our composer and artist, we have, let me think, we got two editors. I brought in a third just recently because I was showing him the show. He's not going to be around for a while. He went to join the Air Force recently. But before he left, I said, okay, since you're not going to be here, do you want to just listen to all of Tarkov that we have so far? And he's like, yeah, sure. And so while we were driving home from like an amusement park that I was taking him to, I let him listen to the whole series. And this man starts asking the questions that I hadn't considered. And he's like asking questions about like how certain characters are going about their certain activities, how characters are going to be doing for like if we do a season 2, what's their motivation for this, this, and this? You've said that they're going to do this, this, and this, but how do they do this and this, and why do they do this and this? And then I had to really think about this because I forgot he's the only other person that I know that knows Halo to the extent that I do, like personally, like as a close friend in real life. So he started asking all these questions. So I brought him in as an editor. And then we've got, let's see, I do all the episodes when it comes to the sound effect production and all of that from start to
producing. Pretty much producing it.
Yeah, I'd be the producer. Me and Luke financed the project together because we've had to first of all, we had to pay the composer. He's only commissioned work, and making a soundtrack is in my view very much more difficult and more tedious than doing like most other things in a production. And that's including my stuff, like doing it, actually making the show. I would say that's even more difficult than that. And then we've got the artist, which he's also commissioned, which also makes sense. So we've had to go back and forth on financing those guys. And then the only other places that we've had to help finance the show was like we had to buy some of the sound packs. We had to buy new tech to make this show work because like the old PC that I had wasn't working. It would crash like too many sounds apparently for the CPU, whatever. So we had to go for all of that. So like our budget for this was already tight and it got tighter. And with what we have, I'm surprised that it came out sounding as good as it does, to be honest. I was not expecting it to sound kind of
studio quality. It sounds very good.
I would say it's studio. I'm glad you think so.
I'll admit to the audience that you did share an episode with me to preview.
I did. Yep.
I was very impressed. Like I definitely get the professional quality vibe to it.
Well, yeah, that's good.
If I had to critique one thing, it's one voice that just to me sounds a little off, but the sound effects are very well mixed. You get that from what you guys have done. You get that nice dynamic of
really emphasizing the sounds that you need to hear versus some of the more ambient stuff that can be a lot more just background noise. Again, it's a sample of one episode, so hopefully, I'm guessing it's unique, or not unique, that it permeates throughout the rest of the episodes that you guys have worked on. The sound mixing is great. The voice talent is spectacular with what you've got. And I was talking to Luke about this too before you came out to the record. The style that you guys are doing the episodes in too is very interesting. And it's very Halo ODST-esque in the fact that you're forming, and hopefully I'm not allowed to say this, but if I need to remove it afterward, that's fine. But you're forming the episodes in like it's one timeline that's being told from a present perspective, but with flashbacks to what happened throughout the story.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very,
yeah,
I picked up on that very quickly, and it's very kind of keyed into the story that was told in Halo 3 ODST, which you guys are kind of spinning off on anyways, at least from all the ODST promotional material that you're going off with Tarkov as the main character here.
Yes. That is very true. You can keep that in too. yeah, it's been an insane time putting that whole thing together for a lot of different reasons. When it comes to how the show came to be on that front with putting it together, which I do appreciate all of the things you said on like how the quality is. That's what we were aiming for in the first place, is just making sure the show is at least pleasant to listen to. But with making the show happen, I just lost my train of thought. I was going to say something really profound.
Well, let me add something, and maybe this will get you back on the train of thought. One of the things I really picked up on, because this is one thing that you really have to key in for audio dramas that you're missing a big chunk from that you otherwise have in video, is you have to really make sure you balance out the sounds that you want people to hear in the environment, like a specific slosh of a foot in a swamp, or a ping of a bullet off of a tree, or something like that. Like there's so much minutia that you have to go in and tune as far as, okay, how does the reverb need to play off of this? How loud does this specific sound need to be? For those with a stereo only audio experience, how do you portray a visual representation of something with only sound? And that's very tricky to do with an audio drama. And I picked up on that right away, that the sound mixing that you have, at least from what I've heard so far, does a very good job with that.
Well, we appreciate that. That actually does bring me back to what I was thinking. When it came to actually putting together those sounds, we had to go with the philosophy of like even the sounds that I don't expect people to hear, or at least register, they're there, mostly because you would only notice them if they weren't there. That's like the most important part, because there's a lot of sounds happening around you all the time that you just kind of key out. You don't hear them happening. So you had to go in and put them in anyway, because if you don't, then someone's going to be like, wait, what is my brain telling me that something should be happening when there's nothing happening? And sometimes you won't even be able to identify what it is, because it's one of those sounds that's like so background, you don't even hear it when you're going about your day-to-day life.
But so key.
And it's exactly like an audio drama, like when you can only use sound to create an environment, you gotta go hard. And so it's something along those lines where you have to really key in on making sure those sounds are working properly and interacting with each other.
So Luke, as far as the original vision of Tarkov, and like I'm assuming a lot of the stuff has probably changed from what you initially set out to do, how's everything morphed into the vision that you have today? Like, is it still kind of true to your original vision, or has a lot of it been scrapped and you're now looking at something that's completely new and that maybe has no resemblance of what you originally concepted?
So originally, when I had, you know, initially thought up of the series, you know, it was going to start off with Tarkov, you know, being a veteran, like being a captain of his own ship with the battalion of ODSTs and whatnot. And, you know, now we're going back to his rookie days when, you know, he was in a squad of his own and whatnot. And, you know, well, it has changed a bit. I still feel like it's, you know, keeping the most important things that you know, I wanted to tell with the original story.
And I think for the most part, that is something that we're going to hopefully be really treated to, because ODSTs, I think, mostly throughout the Halo franchise, have a nice, rich history to them. Probably a little more so than the Spartans originally did. Obviously, with 343 and all the books that have come out in the 343 era of Halo, that's been fleshed out a little bit more too. But the ODSTs have always kind of had that initial leg up as far as, aside from like the main side characters like Miranda and Johnson and Arbiter and those folks, ODSTs were kind of the next in line where they're not just your generic Marine, but at least there's they're a little tougher. They have a little bit more of the war stories that you can kind of bounce off of from the book side of things. And then when Halo 3 ODST came around, then you got some of that development too.
Yeah, the ODSTs definitely have a lot of story potential, like with them being like special ops and whatnot, and, you know, going behind enemy lines, doing all these special missions.
Yeah, pretty much the best of the best from the UNSC perspective without getting all of the super soldier enhancements with the Spartans.
Yeah.
And like, it should be noted, actually, speaking of these war stories that you guys were talking about, we can mention one important part of the plot, which was that, like, setting it up and all of that. We actually, when we went in to make this story, like, recreate it from the ground up, we wanted it to be, like, a puzzle piece that fit perfectly within the Halo lore. So it's not going to be overriding anything. It's not going to be rewriting anything. It's going to be working with what is currently available and creating its own little thing out of it. So, first and foremost, this is public knowledge. So the story, first of all, takes place in the year 2545. So after the Covenant has already become a thing, they've already attacked, they've been around for 20 years, but not quite Halo event, and not quite everyone is public about things like a lot of the stuff that, let's say, like the office already knows about. Like, so it's not one of those things. But we wanted to base it around canon events. So things that have happened, but things that aren't quite expanded upon. So I believe in Halo 5, there was a moment where something was referenced about a planet called Ember. And Ember had this operation happen, which was called Operation Devil Freedom. And the show revolves around that operation. That's essentially like the event that happens. If you want to go in and look at what Operation Devil Freedom is, you can. You're not going to get beyond a couple sentences. So,
as every obscure Halo reference is.
Exactly. The only thing that we really know is that ODSTs were there. So we're like, oh, ODSTs were there, weren't they? Okay. And so we revolved the story around this one operation from start to finish. The events of what happens at Operation Double Freedom influence the story. So the whole story is important in that regard, in the way of we wanted to try our best to make something that didn't quite make, like, let's say, like, the lore fanatics, which I would consider myself one of those. I don't want anybody to listen to the show and be like, well, that wouldn't happen because or this didn't happen here. So I don't want that. So we worked real hard to fit this thing in like a puzzle piece. And that includes all of the stuff that we can't quite talk about. Everything that happens within the show is usually related to something that is canon. Like, the locations are all canon locations. We haven't pulled any like inventions of new planets or new colonies or anything like that. We've only pulled from things that exist, and that's probably one of the most important parts of how this show functions, is making sure that you're still grounded in the Halo universe and it doesn't feel like you're a fan project.
Right. Yeah, so I mean, that's so obscure that there's not even an entry on Halopedia for that operation, but I'll take your word for it. It definitely has that kind of Fistful of Arrows type vibe, where it's a community project that you're hoping that, well, I mean, it can have some merit within the Halo universe, so it could fit in if it was like an official thing, but again, it's a community project. So I know there's quite a lot of projects that try to do that. I know some of the game projects are also doing that. I think Coral, I know, is taking that approach with their game. Downfall, I can't remember if that's specifically trying to tie into the Halo universe in some way or not. But I know Coral is, because that's supposed to be the Battle of Coral.
Yes. Can't say anything about Downfall, but I can say, yeah, Coral is still going to be based around that planet. It's looking fun. I've been getting a lot of stuff from those guys recently, and it's kind of blowing my mind. They've been, like I said, they've been huge supporters, including I think at one point, it's an ODST story, so we have a drop pod, and we wanted to have a way of making it so that the reverb sounded right, because you know you're inside of a small metal cage.
Mm-hmm.
What is that going to sound like?
Yep.
And I was talking to the Coral guys about it, because I sent them an audio piece, being like, "Hey, what does this sound like? How does this sound?" And it was like, admittedly, horrible reverb, sounded terrible. And they were like, "Oh man, that sounds awful. Would you like this 3D model of an ODST drop pod and then put an audio source in the middle of it so that you get accurate reverb?"
Wow, that's like, pretty impressive. Okay. That's very impressive, so, actually.
They've been helpful.
That's good.
It was great. They've been really nice about it.
That's awesome. Anything else that you guys want to share about Tarkov? I guess specifically for this season, as far as story, characters, what to look out for.
What to look out for? Book references.
Lots of book references.
Lots of book references. There's quite a few things. I won't specify books, but I can specify. Well, okay, so there's book references, and then there's one single Hunt the Truth reference. We had to, because that's what we're based
on.
Sure,
sure. Might be a little out of timeline reference, but hey, it's a community project, so there you go.
When it comes to book references, I can tease that that one of the plot elements is based around, let's say, a Greg Bear novel. We can say that much. The Hunt the Truth reference is in reference to one of the characters that is actually rather prominent in the later Hunt the Truth episodes. He's not in it. Like, we didn't pull any strings and get a professional voice actor to step in and play as a character. That would be insane. I would really want that, but it's insane. But there is a reference to him. Aside from that, I don't know if we pulled any other fun little tricks. Okay, actually, no, there is one other thing. We referenced a comic.
Okay.
One of the Halo comics. Although this obviously takes place before like almost all of the comics. So I can't say exactly which comic is referencing, because that would be actually spoiling, like, to high heaven. You would be spoiling a lot.
Fair enough.
Because it's really based on that.
Fair enough.
But we wanted this to be one of those things that's kind of like, when I went in and wanted to help out with the show, my goal was to, as a Halo lore fanatic, make everyone else lore fanatics. So I'm pulling in all these, like, we're pulling all these lore strings.
Yep.
So that people are like, wait, what is that? And that's exactly why we actually have a section on our Discord, Lore of Tarkov, which you go into the lore and it's a bunch of Halopedia links that will change based on what episodes are out. So if you're curious and if you want to understand more of what's going on, you can go in, check those links, listen to the episode at the same time or later, and then be like, oh, wow, I understand everything of what's going on now.
Okay.
It's been a really good time, just because, like, it would have been, I think it would have been kind of, in a way, less interactive if we didn't pull in as many lore things as possible. Because, like, at first we had a full lore string, so we pulled in. And then as the episodes went on, we just kept on adding more and more.
Well, and that would be an interesting way to kind of keep it grounded to the Halo universe, and might give you that extra bump of keeping people interested in what's coming next, too.
Very much so. And so we're definitely down for that idea of pulling in as much as possible. There's a lot of lore characters. There's a lot of, like, in universe characters, they exist. They have voice actors and everything. And then we have our own characters that we invented, of course, Delta IV, almost, not even almost, entirely our creation. And then lore environments, there's only in-universe, like, locations. All of the locations exist within the realm of Halo. And then pretty much every plot point, everything that happens, is grounded within that little bubble of Halo lore. So there's nothing that's going to be happening outside of it. We're not going to be reviving the Didact back in those times and then putting him back in the Cryptum or anything like that. It's going to be some good stuff that's going to be going on that will fit perfectly very well.
That's awesome. And I believe you're not only going to do one season, depending on how things go, right? You have plans for a couple other seasons, possibly?
Yes. That's a potential.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. We talked back and forth, me and Luke. Do you remember how many seasons we were originally going to do? I know how many we want to do now, but did we plan on doing one season and then just kind of stop, or did we have like an idea?
I think we might have been planning to make the first season like longer than 10 episodes maybe at some point. But
yeah.
Maybe we were planning to do like maybe 2 or 3 seasons back then as well. Who knows? It's honestly been so long.
That's accurate. Yeah, these days, our plan, if things work out, we do want to do a season 2.
Okay.
I don't want to go into how many seasons there could be, because I don't want to get my own hopes
right.
up.
Yeah.
Temper those expectations a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Because like I said, like the making season 1 was costly. It took a lot of time. And since I'm like in college at the same time, working on the show was rather difficult. My poor roommate hearing the clickety clack of keyboard stuff happening until like 4 in the morning.
Typing up scripts, responding to emails.
Oh, so many things. And like, I would love to have the show go on for as long as we would like it to, like the number that we have in our head of how many seasons we have. But quite honestly, if season 1 happens and then we aren't able to do a season 2, I'll be content with what we have.
Sure.
But I would love to do a season 2, though. So, like, yeah. We should totally do a season 2.
Season like, 2.
Cameo appearances, season 2. Possible.
If anything, it's to create a story that fans can enjoy, and then they're able to go back and listen to it, and then experience it as if it were a real thing. Like, that's why we're trying so hard to make it a perfect puzzle piece mm-hmm. in the Halo universe, because it's not about like gaining something from it or becoming part of 343 Industries. Everyone wants to do that, but it's always just been about creating a story that the fans can enjoy and then taking that story and either connecting it to things that happen in the universe, if you want to play around with that, things like that. And so nowadays, when it comes to support, these days we're kind of aiming more towards the Patreon side of things.
That's because, where a lot of projects are these days, it seems like.
Yeah, because like I remember I was talking to Downfall, their top guy Cameron, and he was like, you know, you can't make any money off of this. I'm like, well, hold on, in the game content usage rules, optional.
No,
you can ask for it if it's like not mandatory. That's a factual thing. I can pull them up right now. I promise you.
I'm pretty sure you can't make any money off of it.
No, you can't make any money off of it if it's like per listen or if you have to pay for the episode. You can't do that. So we took out all of our sponsors. We originally had sponsors, but we got rid of them. Yeah, so like the one that you're talking about here, if the item you create and distribute is a free app, then you must distribute it for free. You can't earn any money. Completely understandable. You may use the item on a page where you ask for optional donation requests. So,
yeah, but I mean, that's not paying for the product. That's just a separate.
Not at all. But whatever we make from that would be what we put into the next season. Or if I get if we get solid jobs that, you know, do 60 an hour, sure, let's do it.
Right.
But yeah. That's pretty much all the background stuff that we had to deal with when it comes to putting the show together, because it's not an easy thing. Like it's a spending of income and time, but it's been completely worth it.
Very much.
Yeah.
Like starting out as someone that was like really low on the tier with Luke, like taking care of everything by himself, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to help. Cause I'm like, oh dude, We need to form a team. Let's make a team.
Yeah. Right. It was incredibly stressful trying to edit all of the stuff and audio together by myself. Oh, God.
Yeah. I feel your pain. It's not fun. Yeah, so it's not pleasant.
Exactly. And like, and now you brought back one of your old co-hosts now, haven't you?
We did. Yes.
Yeah.
Back from Super the Halo 5. Like, right around the Halo 5 launch, he hasn't been here, I think, since 2015 or 2016 even. So yeah, Haas is back on the co-host seat. Getting ready for that getting ready for that infinite hype.
Oh dude, there's so much. That was one of the actually key things we wanted to go for. We were like, we have to release it before Infinite. Yeah. We have to release it before Infinite.
Yep.
Admittedly,
well, that was me in the Halo Mole too, was we gotta release this before Infinite.
Yes, yeah.
And then it got delayed, so it was a little bit of a breather, but still wanted to kind of try to get it done too. So
that's exactly what I was going to point out. We were originally going to miss our deadline entirely, and then we were admittedly a little bit excited when Infinite got delayed by a year.
Because I was like, too. Oh, I was too. I'll admit it.
I mean, I feel like if you were a Halo fan, you probably were at least a little excited over the delay anyway, because everyone was freaking out over that gameplay trailer.
Right.
They were worried about how it looked, which I'm just going to say, I never had doubts. I called it. It looks great.
Yeah. Yeah, no one on our side had doubts. That's just part of the game development. Like, yeah, until they have a chance to optimize it, it's going to look like that.
I mean, the fact that they ran as well as it was.
Yeah. That's certainly something. And but from the screenshots we've seen though, and even the new multiplayer stuff, looking really
good. They're
so pretty.
Oh my god.
I'm wholeheartedly planning on getting a 31:9 monitor if I can get it, just so I can play the game in that format. The fact that they've actually formatted the game so it doesn't stretch the screen is beautiful.
Yeah, I don't know if I would go that extreme. If I were to get one, maybe a 21:9. I don't think I could do a 31:9.
That's fair.
That's a little extra for me.
I just love that. What is it? It was a Samsung What was it? Samsung G9, I think it is. It's a 31:9. Yeah, it's that thing is beautiful.
31 or 32?
I've heard a lot of things. Is that 30?
I think it's 21 and then 32. But either way,
I think it's 32.
Super ultra wide.
Yeah, it's pretty though.
So where can people find more about Tarkov? I don't know if we mentioned it either before or on the show, but it's releasing in a week from when we're recording this, so it's releasing on July 30th. Where mm-hmm. can people find it?
So Luke, I'll let you take where we can like listen to the show, and I'll do the Discord and stuff.
All right, you can find it on YouTube, Spotify, Google Podcasts, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three main ones that you can pretty much find them on. What are the other ones we can find it on?
Socials.
We only have an Instagram when it comes to the socials. We don't talk a whole lot about the show. But when it comes to where we do talk about it, we have a Discord.
Yes.
The Discord has so far been growing a little bit. It's not gained a whole lot of traction, but a lot of fans from Instagram have joined in. The Discord is probably going to be the hub for where you'll find all of the things that you would like to know about the show, how you can support the show, how you can, like, where you can listen, and a couple other extra tidbits. Like we mentioned before, it has things like that's where you'll find the official soundtrack. Unless you want to go to Spotify, you can do that too. That's where you'll find the lore that relates to the show, where you can find the art every time an episode releases.
Okay.
And then you'll even find the section where it has the listen to, which is, you know, things like YouTube, Anchor, Spotify, SoundCloud, Google Podcasts, Radio Public, Breaker. The only link that we couldn't find was Apple Podcasts, but that's because they don't let you link it, which was sad.
There should be a way to.
Maybe it's just difficult for me because I don't have an Apple phone, and I can't get a link. I can't log into Apple because I don't have.
You should be able to do it through the website, but
I'll figure it out later on.
Yeah, there's a way to do it because we have our podcast linked on our website.
Oh, okay. Then yeah, I'll figure it out. It shouldn't take more than a little bit of a Google exploration.
Yeah, might just have to extract the link somehow. But yeah,
probably.
So that's cool.
We can figure it out.
Discord.
Yeah, we got the Discord, and it also has a couple like voice channels if you want to play like Halo with some of the cast or anything like that.
Very nice.
And then otherwise, YouTube is the main place you want to be at when it comes to where you'll find things like the latest teasers. The final trailer for the show is going to be going up at the same time as this episode's release. And so if you want to, after the episode is over, you can just go and hop over to our YouTube channel and you'll find the trailer live there. And then, like I said, a week from there, bada bing, bada boom, first episode's up. And then from there then on, it'll just be weekly releases well into September.
Very nice. All right, looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Thank you both for coming on and talking a little bit about it. Really, really excited to see where this is going. You've got three teasers out, and you've got the trailer, like you said, that's going to be dropping when we drop this episode. And then in a week from today is the first episode coming out, which I haven't heard.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
So. Yeah, it's something I remember I actually teared up a little bit because it's been a while. If at all, I've ever had an actual as a team, I've never had a full production actually come to light and be done. So, I got to give my appreciation to the cast, the crew, the people that helped put this whole show together. Because quite literally, I couldn't have done it at all. None of us could have done it by ourselves. So I'm just happy that first of all, the Halo community is the way that it is, because that was one of the ways that we were able to even get people to know about the show, to get the casting, to get the group put together, is that Halo, just like with us, inspired a lot of different people and brought everybody here. And then, of course, appreciation to my good friend Luke here, because he's the one that came up with the whole idea in the first place. So appreciation to the dude himself. And also, got to give you thanks as well, because it's, first of all, love Podtacular. It's my personal favorite Halo podcast.
Well, thank you.
I think four there are?
No.
I think there
are
four. No?
There's more than four. There is a lot more than four. I think the count is now up to, a few of them have kind of fallen off, but as far as regular podcasts, probably eight or nine.
Wow. Okay, yeah, I only know about four, and I only listen to two. So then yes, out of the nine that exist,
yeah,
I would put you at the top spot.
Well, thank you.
I'm glad that I'm glad that you pulled us on. It's been great to get to meet you and get to know you. I'm actually personally looking forward to your mole thing. I'm really thank excited you. To see that come out. You gotta keep me posted on that one.
It's already out. The whole season's out. It's done. It's been published.
Wait, the whole season?
Oh yeah.
I thought it was just doing an episode thing. Hold on, I gotta get that tab open.
It's done. We started releasing back in September of last year, and it's all out now.
How did I not? Somebody messed up. I was looking forward to this.
Well, now you can you can binge watch all nine episodes.
I found it. I found the way. I'm trying on the channel. Hold on.
For anyone else who hasn't checked it out or haven't caught it for some reason, thehalomole.com or youtube.com/thehalomole is
yes, this needs more attention. I just found it, and I am going to probably just binge through the whole thing.
If you want to spam it out, we are more than happy if you spam it out. we were hoping it would do a lot better. It was one of those things where for us personally, we would consider a second season if we got at least 1,000 subscribers to the channel.
Oh, okay.
My goal was at least 1,000 viewers on at least one of the episodes, but I don't think we'll get there in any kind of time, which is fine. We absolutely love doing the project, and we're happy that it's done.
Of course.
A lot of blood, sweat, and tears over that one, but when we finally got it done, it was a nice sigh of relief, and we're proud of the work that we did.
Well, I'm looking forward to watch it, because that's where you'll get the best content, the people that are passionate for what they do. So, I mean, for example, Podtacular. So feel free to keep up with your work, whatever it is you got to be doing, and just send me links, because the people that I would have entrusted to let me know that these things were happening, I don't watch a lot of YouTube. So I completely missed this. And like I said, I only hopped on to Podtacular somewhat recently. So I completely missed it. I'm so sorry.
Not a problem. Not a problem. I mean, I don't expect everyone to watch it, so it's all good.
Oh man.
Well, thank you, Luke and Austin, for coming on. We are very excited to see what the story is going to unfold with Tarkov. We hope to see you back, hopefully, on the show, maybe after the series is done, maybe for some future project updates. I'll make sure that we at least try to do a little bit of recap on it once at least the season's over. We are both very excited about it, especially podcast audio drama kind of go hand in hand a little bit.
So. We intermingle.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. We do a little bit. Glad to hear about all of the narrative tie-ins. We're huge lore nerds on the podcast as well, even though I am four books behind. Regardless of the fact, thank you guys for taking the time to come out. I'm so happy that the Coral team and the Downfall team recommended you guys coming over here so we could learn more about the project. And we're looking forward to seeing what comes out. I keep saying that, but it's true. I'm really excited, and I will, like, I've already turned on the notification bell for the project. So,
all right, thank you
big
very
appreciation.
Much.
Appreciation. Thanks for having us.
Yep.
Yeah, it's been great.
For those listening, thank you for tuning into this podcast. And you can normally catch our live podcast on Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time over on Twitch. We also have Fragment Fridays, which is actually happening right now as we're recording this because I accidentally double booked this week. So you got two podcasts this week. Next week will actually be our 16th year anniversary. We're not planning anything special for that one, but it is a little milestone note for us. So you can mark that one down. We've also got Achieving Halo that you can drop in with us on Sundays at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We're currently going through some Season 7 challenges in MCC. You can find the podcast on all your podcasting services. We've got iTunes, Amazon Podcasts, Stitcher, pretty much anywhere that you can listen to podcasts we are at. If there's a place that we're not, please let us know, and we will make sure we get the podcast on those podcasting services. You can check us out on our socials. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We also have a Discord server where most of the community hangs out, podtaggler.com/Discord. We'll get you there. We also have a Spartan company that we're whittling down some challenges on to get that Achilles helmet. We won't be done before Infinite, but we're still going to try. And then for everyone that supports us, we thank you so much, whether you're tweeting out the streams or sharing the podcast with your friends. We just appreciate all the support. If you decide to want to support us monetarily, there's a few ways you can do that. One way that's pretty easy is subscribing to us on Twitch. Like I say, every podcast, Penn seems to be the one that likes to gift subs out. So if you want a sub, ask him. He'll probably give you one. We've also got our Patreon, which you can check out over at podtaggler.com/Patreon. And shout out to Confal, Prestige, and Penn's for supporting us over on Patreon. And then if you would like, you can also donate to us through PayPal if you'd rather do the direct monetary route instead. That's going to wrap it up for this show. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We'll catch you all next week for the next live show. Make sure you go check out the Tarkov, a Halo Story project over on YouTube and podcasting services.